I'm expecting.
What if I told you that the label on your favorite product, the one you trust, the one you give your kids, the one you pay extra for, might be lying to you? Today, we're cutting through the marketing noise and pulling back the curtain with Peter Becker from Topic SA, the organization on a mission to expose the truth hiding in plain sight. This isn't about creating fear. It's about empowerment, and it's about knowing what you're really buying, who you're really supporting, and why the truth matters more than ever. So if you've ever picked up something off a shelf and thought, is this really what it says it is? This episode is for you. Peter, thank you so much for taking time to chat to us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So most people trust the labels on their food, on their supplements, and on the skincare they buy without question. What woke you up to the fact that something might not be right or might not be what it says it is? Can you take us back to what was the moment that made you say something has to change?
Well, that's interesting because you've just revived that memory. Because we started, the first topic report came out in 2015. I was just checking, which is a shockingly long time ago. But many years before that, I picked up a product called Mr. Muscle, and it was a shower cleaner something. And I wondered, how do they kill the mold? You know, what's different between this and soap? And on the ingredient list, there was a product that I didn't recognize. So I Googled it and looked it up, and it was a brand name of a industrial grade poison. Wow. That is used in factories and floors and stuff. And I think in some countries it was banned, but Right. Not in South Africa. So there were two levels there that got me very irritated. One was that they obfuscated the actual ingredient by using a brand name of it and not the chemical name. And secondly, that it was banned for household use in some countries, but is happily sold in South Africa. So ever since then, I had this yen to try and make labels accurate. And I think you said it earlier, it's not about fear, it's about trust. And our natural inclination as humans is to trust other humans. And that's an excellent thing. But it's not such an excellent thing when that trust is abused and we are misled by what's on labels. So I was very delighted when a group formed and someone approached me and said, would I like to join this group where we're looking at what we call verifying labels. So we're not trying to catch people out. We're not trying to prove people wrong. What we're trying to do is build towards our vision of what shopping should be. And that is where every label is trusted and every consumer trusts every label they read with good
reason. Yeah, I think we just, you know, it's not about vilifying anybody. It's about education and we can make a choice. That's what seems to be. So how often do you think products or product labeling is blatantly lying to us?
Shockingly often. Yeah, shockingly often. So our very first investigation was a group called Wakaberry Frozen Yogurt, which you might or might not remember.
I do.
In 2015. And it was all about we use organic milk and all their marketing and labeling and branding in store was we have happy cows on organic farms and da-da-da and with lovely paintings and everything. And we asked for nominations because that's how we work. And hopefully we'll discuss that a bit more later. And we had several nominations like, is this really organic milk? So we had no idea what we were doing. And we wrote a very polite letter to Wakaberry saying, you know, we're a consumer organization and we'd love to see some kind of verification, some documentation that demonstrates that your milk is actually organic. And that was when the first shock hit us because they wrote back and said we don't use organic milk. We used to, but we couldn't get it anymore, so we just don't.
What?
And there was no shame. There was no apology. There was no like, oops, thanks for pointing it out. So we followed up and we said, well, what about the branding in your store? And we sent photographs and we asked people from other cities in South Africa to send us photographs. And they said, yeah, we're going to change it, but it'll take a while, you know. Meanwhile, just keep lying to your customer. Why not? We said, well, how long? And they said 6 months. And eventually they did in store by store. And then they went bankrupt a while later. Don't know if it was connected or not. But it was quite amusing going into the store to check because now they had blank spaces on the words organic. So it was our milk is from farms where blank cows are blank milked, you know, so they had to take out all those lovely marketing things. And I think sometimes, to be fair, or to understand, there's sometimes a disconnect between the marketing department and the legal department and the ethical standards of a company, where the marketing people decide, well, people want organic milk. Well, let's put it on the label. Let's buy organic milk. And realities maybe set in, and oh, that's a bit more expensive. And then there ends up being a disconnect between the label and the product. And if no one ever follows up, then that's the way it'll stay.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it is our biggest supermarket chains as well, the ones that parade as being the most ethical, that unfortunately have the most to answer for. And when I'm sure you've had this, you've approached them, they give you very curt answers. And all they're really doing is destroying trust.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know. Maybe I can just talk about why to us labeling is important and the various reasons it is. I think we all have values, you know. Some of us maybe want to avoid eating animal products. Some of us want to might have an allergy, or our kid might have an allergy, and we want to avoid certain foods. But we might have religious beliefs that mean we don't want to eat certain kinds of seafood or certain kinds of animal flesh, many other reasons. We want to make sure if we do eat meat, it's farmed in a humane as possible way. Et cetera, et cetera. But unfortunately, all of those values are meaningless if we're basing our decisions on information that's incorrect. So I think this is something that broadly cuts across so many different segments of our society, is that we need to have a label that we can actually trust. I just thought that's nice to set as a context, you know, so we're not parading, or we're not campaigning that everything must be organic or everything must be that. Our approach as an organization is put anything you like into a product, but just make sure it's clear on the label so that people can make an informed choice whether they want to buy and consume that product.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to bring to people's awareness, you know, that a lot of these poisons and chemicals are hidden behind E numbers and they're hidden behind other names. And it really doesn't take much investigation to go and put that into a search engine and see what it is. But if you don't recognize something on a label, there's a really good chance you shouldn't be buying the stuff.
No.
You know,
And to be
if you
fair,
can't pronounce the word.
yeah, how often do you or I actually take a label, read all the ingredients on it, and then go and Google them? We often just don't have time, you know? And that is where this idea of this organization came up. If we as consumers act in a coordinated way, the corporates and the big chains and the suppliers, they don't have a chance. They don't have a hope of resisting us and what we want. If everyone tomorrow stopped buying a certain product, that company would respond immediately to fix, withdraw, to correct that. But the problem is we don't. And they've got a legal department with 10 lawyers, and we're one person maybe making a phone call, sending an email, and then giving up and forgetting about it. So the idea of forming Topic is that we somehow pool our resources, and then we approach them in a more, you know, as a group of people, which gets a much better response from them.
And how have, I mean, see, you said you formed in 2015. How have you, what is the response that you've received from, say, manufacturers and not wholesalers, but retailers? Have they been taking you seriously? You know, you have made serious headway over the last year, couple of years.
It's so interesting, that question, and the range of responses that we've received from various people. So, one example, I think it was our second investigation, claimed to be sugar-free chocolate by a company called Le Chocolatier. So it was French, so it must be nice. So it was a local guy, I think in KZN, and the chocolate was suspiciously sweet. And testing for sugar is one of the cheapest lab tests. So we did it and we found it full of sucrose. And we wrote to him, and I think we got legal letters back threatening us, like, how dare we question, and so on.
Really?
And it was an interesting little example, because clearly there was a bad actor there. And what he claimed, or tried to claim, and he was very evasive, very hard to get hold of, is that he used powdered honey, not sugar, in his chocolate. Now, powdered honey was a white powder that looks suspiciously like table sugar. And anyway,
Yes.
honey is sugar. So you can't say something sugar-free and add sugar to it. So we were quite
Okay.
harsh on in our review of him, and I think he went out of business, although it was surprising the top-end stores that stocked that brand at the time. But what was a
Yeah.
very positive outcome for us for that is we got an email from another custom chocolate maker, And she was mortified. She said she puts honey in her chocolate, and she didn't understand that honey is made up of fructose and glucose. So it is sugar. And she was so apologetic, and she said, "Thank you for bringing this to my attention, because this is a real medical risk to people with diabetes." Oh, sugar-free chocolate, yum yum yum, and your blood sugar can go off the charts, and you could die, from that thing. Don't feed it to your child, and so on. And she sent out an apology letter to all her outlets and to all her customers, saying, "I'm so sorry. This was through not knowing, not intentional, and I'm immediately changing my labels to do that." So for us,
Fair
that was
enough.
a nice thing, because we're not picking on the bad people. We also are informing people generally, who then people with the best integrity and the best intentions were actually doing something deceptive without their knowledge, and that's they have fixed that. So I think that, that is a great thing.
So a lot of good comes from that in the end.
Well, that's our aim. Our aim is that we shouldn't have to exist, because every person who makes a label is going to say, "Well, we're going to get caught if we don't put this on accurately." And every customer should pick up a label and say, "This label is 100% accurate." We know that because, people are honest when they label their stuff.
Are there particular words on product labeling that you are highly suspicious of, like low carb, sugar free, fat free, all of these things, natural ingredients, nature identical? What really gets your sirens going?
One of our early investigations was into gluten-free. And gluten-free is an interesting subject because it has, to a degree, become a fad. But on the other end of the extreme, there are people with celiac disease who will seriously get really, really, really ill if they have a teaspoon of gluten.
Gluten.
So there was a bakery called Freedom Bakery that we looked into. And at first, it seemed very above board. I think we were slightly taken in. We were invited in. This charming lady showed us how she baked ingredients. But afterwards, we realized that's interestingly sized packets that they're baking from. We usually think a big baker would have bulk packeting. And all the tests showed full of gluten. Her sugar-free stuff was full of sugar. There was also, some doubts, like when you add coconut cream to a product, that's actually contained sugar. So you've got to be very careful as a retailer or as a producer that you are actually understanding the science behind what you are doing. And that leads to another interesting topic, and one that we came up across and we had to discuss internally quite intensively, is who is responsible? If I, as a baker, buy a piece of a bag of flour and it says gluten-free, and I use it and it's full of gluten, and you buy my product and you get sick, who's responsible? Because we did meet that response from the supplier, from the manufacturer, to say, "Well, it's not my problem. Look here, I bought this label and it says that." And then you can go to the next link in the chain, and you can say, "Well, where did you get this ingredient from?" "Oh, we bought it from this company in India who said it was gluten-free product." So what is the consumer expected to do? To travel to India and to check on that, to report them? Or does the responsibility go all the way down the chain? And the only logical answer we came to is the responsibility goes all the way down the
It
chain.
does. It does. And I think if you're going to make any claim, you better be sure of what your ingredient. You must test. If you're going to make a statement and a claim, you need to, really put your money where your mouth is and make sure before you put your brand next to a claim, because then you are
And
responsible.
you are, and let's try and be a little bit sympathetic to the home industry, the home baker who comes up and, can they afford a lab test? Do they even know which labs do these kind of tests and so on? And we do try and help in those situations. We offer a service where we know the labs, we know the tests, and we can assist people to do that. The bigger places, obviously, they do it by default. One of our supporters is a wellness warehouse, and they have a dedicated staff person whose job is to check compliance. That's all they do. So they spend their year going through the products, checking all the certification is up to date, and then by the time a year's over that's expired, they start again and they go through all their products and a careful filtering of new products that come on and so on. And that you can do when you're a large national chain. It's harder to do when you're a small chain. But then maybe you must be careful about the labeling. Maybe you mustn't say gluten-free unless you've gone to the trouble of saying it's gluten-free,
Yeah, absolutely.
of checking that it's gluten-free.
In your experience, is there a specific category, like supplements or cosmetics or food, where you see more deception than others?
I think the supplement industry is full of deception, but they're careful because they've been through this and they know that they will get into legal trouble. So they'll say wording like has been used to treat headaches or has been known to this or that. So they're not making a clinical claim. They're saying that people used to use
Yes.
hogwort root or something to treat XYZ. They're not saying on the label that it will help with that product, but you've got to sort of read it like a lawyer to actually pick up that difference, you know? They're very clever with the wording. So that whole field is highly suspect and I think very lucrative. And like, for example, you can buy vitamin C by the kilogram, but you can also buy it in a gold labeled bottle with like executive boost, you know, and the actual product is worth nothing. It's the marketing and the label that's worth a lot. So I think there's a lot. Gluten free is another one that's highly suspect. And it's very sad to say, but also one has to be careful of organic. And maybe I can tell you the one story with the large chain if you're interested.
Definitely.
And I think growing things organically is fantastic, and that's my personal opinion. It's not something we promote as the organization, because, like I say, our only principle at the organization is that labels must be accurate. If it's not organic, that's okay. Just say it's not organic. It can be quite difficult and quite tempting. As a farmer, you've got snails invading your lettuce and your organic farm, but you know, here's a 20 rand snail bait thing that will fix your problem. It must be tempting and difficult. And we did have one example of a small farmer from Philippi where a customer found a blue pellet in the lettuce that they bought. And we didn't make any assumptions. We sent it off for testing, and sure enough, it contained chemicals commonly found in snail bait. And then the farmer was, no, he borrowed a bucket from the neighboring farmer and he didn't wash it. And so it was a bit of a complex story, but it's a tricky one to really be sure. The big core, yeah, and I think I'd also like to talk about the positive and the negative. Maybe let's talk about a negative one first, is Woolworths had a range of organic baby spinach. And that was nominated by consumers, and we sent it off for testing as we normally do. And we found two pesticides slash herbicides. No, what were they? Pesticides in that were not approved for organic use because it also was a learning curve for us. There's some pesticides that are approved for organic root, like neem oil, which is from the bark of a neem tree, which has a temporary fungicide, antifungicide, and pesticide function. And it's now manufactured in factories. But because it's chemically identical to that chemical that comes from the neem tree, it's considered acceptable by organic farmers to actually use it. So, anyway, these two we found that were not that. And that initially were very cooperative. And we went to meet them at head office and we discussed it. And they were a little dismissive. They said, you know, we send our stuff to labs in Switzerland. And I don't know, your lab probably confused it with one sample with another. So we were like, okay. And they said, but don't worry, we're going to send it again for testing just to be, you know, 100% sure. And we certified. And I actually ended up having about an hour-long phone chat to the independent gentleman who offered the certification for them. And he made some interesting points. He said, when you certify something organic, you don't certify the product, you certify the process. So it took me a while to understand that. It means they don't check every product that goes out the door. They check that that farm has the equipment which will enable them to separate the organic from the non-organic. And they have the processes and the training and the gloves and the this in place. But it doesn't mean they're used. And it turned out that 2 weeks before we selected that product for testing, they'd received their yearly certification from this guy. So even the certified place, you know, there's some questions. But I certainly don't want to give the impression that it's a bad idea to buy organic or that it's a ripoff. I think there are people with great integrity that are producing good organic stuff. So the follow-up was that is that we waited for those independent tests to come back from Switzerland, and Woolworths promised to share that with us, and we look forward to it. And we sent them an email every now and again, And then it came back, yeah, it's been 3 weeks now, so they must have the results. And we said, can you share the results? We're interested to check our, double check ours. And we got an email back something like, Woolworths believes in caring for its consumers, and we are no longer stocking that item on our shelf.
Good.
So we were like, okay, that's interesting. Thank you. And could you tell us like what the results of the lab test were? And we
No.
got an email back that says Woolworths cares for its customers, and we are no longer. So, and that was the last copy and paste reply we ever got from Woolworths. So sometimes there's that side of the story. And again, I don't want to give the implication that everything Woolworths sells as organic is bad or wrong, but this was not a very great experience with dealing with the corporate.
No, it would do their brand so much good to be a little more transparent. It would foster so much more trust where people really want to have a trusting relationship with a retailer like Woolworths. If they just put it on the line a little bit more transparently, they would gain so much more from their customers and rather than the cut and paste response, which just it makes you turn away, unfortunately.
And also to be a bit sympathetic to Woolworths, those who stand the highest get the most stones thrown at them. And
Sure.
Woolworths does put itself forward as trying to be sustainable and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's laudable. And they will get the most criticism because they deserve the most criticism
Yes.
because they are putting themselves forward there. But
Yes.
that doesn't mean we don't appreciate what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're a leader in this and will take other retailers along with them as well, you know. That thing about transparency you mentioned is also interesting because we have quite a weak regulatory framework in this country. So
Yes.
what does grass-fed mean? Who
Yes.
defines that? And I think that is comes to the most recent report that you mentioned earlier. And if there was a government department that was competent, like the Department of Health would be, or in combination with the Department of Agriculture would be defining these things, then it's simple. But unfortunately, there's not. So it means every retailer can define for themselves
Yeah.
what it means to have grass-fed.
Yeah.
Because in some areas of the country, the grass freezes in the winter, so you can't grass feed.
Yes.
So there's a clause in their own procedures that says, okay, for so many months of the year, you can feed grain to the grass-fed cow. Whereas you and I might think there's a, tufts of grass being fed to each individual cow, but that's not the case. And then when we ask questions like, well, can that grain be GMO, genetically modified grain? Because a lot of maize and stuff is.
Yes.
The answer is yeah, sure. We get whatever we get. So in the shop, you get the impression you're buying a cow or piece of a cow that's only fed on grass in natural fields. And meantime, they might have spent 3 months of the year in a barn feeding on genetically modified grain.
Yeah.
And that comes to the transparency thing. And in the most recent investigation into Woolworths, we said, well, can we know what your protocol is? When you say grass-fed, what does that mean? What are your
Yes.
rules, so we can inform consumers about that? And their answer was, well, that's intellectual property. So we're not going to share that with you
Yeah.
because then other suppliers potentially could copy what we're doing and then get an advantage over us, I assume, something like that. But whatever their reasons were, they said, no, this is our own proprietary thing and we're not going to share it with you. Which is a bit strange because now you walk into the shop as a customer and you see this thing and it says grass-fed, but no one will tell you exactly what that means.
Yes.
And they hope that people will just trust that. So
Yeah.
I think there is room for more transparency in that kind of situation.
And what about chickens? Because these are the most, I mean, the most abused animals and eggs. What is the story behind free-range eggs? How does that work? And is there even legislation around what is a free-range chicken?
Yeah, that is a complicated question. And we did a investigation into, I think it was the Elgin free range chickens that's on our website. And
Yes.
hopefully you'll mention that. People
Yes.
can go read it in detail. Because all of our investigations, we try and be very detailed. It's many pages
Yes.
and it's objective. So we don't put our opinions down. We report what we find. And two of us, not myself, but two of our team went to visit the farm. And it was a very positive experience. It was very open. They showed us around everything we wanted to see. We could verify that the chickens had hatches. They could walk out the barn anytime they liked. They had space to walk around. We got a lot of transparency and a lot of openness from that company.
And that was very, very reassuring. When we tried the same with Woolworths, they said, no, our farms, I don't think they even wanted to tell us which their farms were at first, because they don't have farms, they contracted farms. And then we couldn't visit because there was avian flu, and then we couldn't visit because of this. And then we, so there was a very different level of transparency from that. And I did say I wanted to say a positive story. So I think Eldon Farms is one of them. And another very positive story, if I may, was Fry's Food, which offer a meat alternative based, and they say GMO-free soy is used, because obviously there's a concern when you see soy as a product, there's a lot of GMO soy. And we posted on our Facebook page, oh, we've now been nominated and we're going to be writing to Fry's Food. Before we could, we got an email from Fry's Food saying, oh, we're delighted to hear that you're going to investigate our product and please let us know how we can cooperate and what we can do. And we're caught a bit sort of off guard compared to the lawyers' letters, et cetera, that we've received in other situations. And they said, here we go. Here's our last test. It was done 6 months ago or whatever it was. And here's the results. And what else can we do for you? So we thought, well, we've got to do something. We can't just sort of say thanks and that's it. So we said, okay, but you selected that product. So can we select a product off the shelf and send it to the lab ourselves? And will you pay for the test and then share the results of the test with us? Well, let's chance our arm, because we do struggle with funding and it's difficult to find money for these tests. And Fry's Food said, sure, you can do that. So one of us went to the shop, we looked at a whole shelf of thing, I think it was myself, bought it, put it in a bag, send it off to the lab directly, and they tested it and they found zero GMO product in it, and exactly as the company had said. So, some companies really welcome this kind of thing, and that is was a huge marketing success for Fry's Food. And we're not paid by them, we didn't accept any fee, we never do. Even people who do support us, they support us on the condition that if we do ever investigate one of their products, we do it in a completely objective way and we don't soften the pull just because they're a supporter of us. But Fry's wasn't. And yeah, it was a great marketing success for them because clearly they were a trustworthy company who welcomed scrutiny, who welcomed
Yes,
oversight.
no, absolutely. So, and what is your, have you had much to do with, say, protein supplements? Because in my industry, when people come to me and we put them on eating plans and we want them to bring in more protein into their diet, I specifically guide my clients as to what to buy, because I'd say as when it comes to protein supplements, 80% of what's on the shelf is mislabeled. Having worked in the industry myself, everything from the ingredients to the amount of protein in a container, have you come across anything like that?
That's interesting. You remind me that there was some research done, I think in the UK, where they found 30% of labels had some form of inaccuracy on foods. And we don't know what it is here, but I'd be surprised if it was significantly less than that, So interesting to hear your experience, 80%. So no, we haven't had direct experience with that. And the way that we operate, and this is for partly legal reasons, we never select a product as the committee. So we were accused of that by a string of lawyers' letters at one point, and we pointed to our processes and say, you're arguing with your own customers. They're the ones who are asking for you to do that. So we won't go out and initiate, as a result of this conversation, an investigation into a protein shake or whatever. But what we do encourage is people to nominate. So if you have a network of people and people nominate this particular label claim, and we do like those nominations to be specific. So not something like look into this product because that's too wide a scope. But this product is labeled as 79% protein. Please could you confirm? Ah, that we can send to a lab and we can confirm. We don't get that many nominations. So if you have a network of people and we send in 10 or 15 or 20 nominations for a very specific claim on the label, such as this, it claims this percent of that, or it claims sugar-free, and can you please verify that specific claim, then it's very likely to win the next round of nominations and we will look into that. I do also must say, I say we never initiate ourselves, and that's not 100% true. Where we are approached by a supplier who says, can you please help us test this specific product?
or this ingredient or our output, then we call that a supporter-initiated
Right.
investigation. And in those cases, we do that, but then we ask that supplier who initiated it to cover the costs of the lab fees.
Okay. So if somebody's listening to this, just a consumer, and they're concerned about what's going on in their pantry, aside from nominating a product, what are the things that any one of us can do to protect ourselves or to be more aware of, how we can shop better?
It's really hard for an individual to do anything. And I think we've all got our lives to get on with. And it's victory by attrition very often, because you write into this company, they don't answer you for a week, you send a follow-up, and then they answer you with something bland, and you've got to read it and follow up, and you give up. And that happens in 99% of the time. And these companies know it. So they'll just string you along and ignore it. So I think we can try and get into the habit of reading labels. And for me, that means taking my most powerful reading glasses, because the labels seem
They
to get
do.
smaller and smaller all the time. And to try and get informed, what does organic mean? What does biodegradable mean? That was a whole
Oh, so
interesting thing we
interesting.
went down. Yeah, because biodegradable, I thought, means I can throw it in my compost heap and it'll rot in a week. But it means nothing of the sort. So then we had to get into what does compostable mean, and we tested a whole lot of products and we put them in a compost heap and we dug them out 6 months later. So biodegradable means that in certain very specialized, often industrial situations, they can put a specific bacteria or microorganism into a controlled environment that will break down that thing. But if you throw it in your garden, you don't have that environment, so it won't actually go. So there's been a whole host of like straws and plastic cups and things which are starch-based or this. But it's important to understand the differences and maybe be a bit discerning, and say, well, biodegradable, do you have anything that's compostable?
Clever.
But most of all, I think if one can put a little bit of weight, if each of us gives 10 seconds of our time a month, we can have a big effect. Whereas trying to do something on your own, unless you've got a lot of spare time and determination, is difficult.
How has this work changed the way you personally shop and eat and, move in the world?
That's interesting. I think because of the history that we spoke about earlier, I had always been quite a skeptical and careful label reader. So I think the main difference was education of myself, because we're not experts in these fields. So every time we do an investigation, we have to find an expert. I mean, I have a BSc degree, so I've got a bit of a scientific background. I can understand if I spend the time to read it. But it's been a lot of education, like knowing that honey is sugar, that knowing that there's all sorts of ways to get sugar into a product. And you can't say it's sugar-free. You can say no added sugar, but that's something else that I was always aware of, and maybe that's something people can learn from reading the topic reports. No added sugar sounds like there's no sugar, but that just means no sugar was added later. If you use pure honey as a product, you didn't add sugar. So it's I think a good lesson is to be highly skeptical of what you read. And when there are words you don't understand, and you touched on this earlier, like hydrogenated XYZ, is to sort of just put the product down and maybe go home and Google what that exactly means before
I think
consuming.
the thing that really gives me a little bit of an irritation is when very clearly, not, for example, if you had to go and get a tin of Coke and it said fat free on it, obviously it's fat free. There's so many, especially health products, that will make big claims as to being fat free or sugar free, where you wouldn't find fat or sugar in the ingredients anyway, but they're almost misleading but not lying. And I think those are very dangerous products that we should avoid at all costs. If you have to go to the extent to be that blatantly, I don't know, effective,
Deceptive.
then we should really
Deceptive,
turn
yeah.
around and go and get the tomato that you recognize to be what it is.
That's so sort of sad, because when one company puts on their cocoa beans or something organic, well, you can't farm cocoa beans, so they're all organic, but then the next company says, well, oh, people are buying this one because it's organic, so let's put that on there as well. Or to put on a toothpaste that it's fat-free, it's like, oh, we've got that one, but they don't put fat in toothpaste. So Yeah, and I do believe that the labeling regulations either already or they are about to be modified to actually make that illegal to
Right.
label something that clearly never had such a product in it and never will
Yes.
have such a product in it. You can't just say, add meat free to your courgettes because you
Yeah.
want the vegan market as well, you know.
Yeah. Just, yeah, even on that topic, I mean, the vegan food, processed food industry has just grown out of all proportion. There's a lot of talk of it declining. Obviously, after a boom, there will be a settle. But what are your thoughts about the labeling on vegan products? And in my opinion, there's not enough disclosure about what is actually in the product. They are always marketed as better for you and healthy, but when you read the ingredients, there's not so much. Have you had anyone nominate a vegan food product yet?
We actually had a very interesting chat, I think about a year ago, to a group who was focusing very much on this, a group of vegan people who were concerned about the labeling and the
Yeah.
accuracy. And they educated us on the difference between plant-based and vegan, because
Yeah.
it sounds like the same thing, but
Yes.
it's not necessarily the same thing, you know?
Right.
So we haven't had that nominated. We hoped after that discussion that that group would encourage their members to nominate something that we could look into, but we haven't yet had an investigation into something that's vegan or non-vegan.
Okay. So you've seen the worst of what companies can get away with, and I'm sure you're quite aware of what goes on abroad as well. What gives you hope for the future?
Well, we've also seen the best, hey? Like some of the examples that I gave,
Yes.
such as that Fry's Food and the Elgin Farms. So it shows me that there's a whole range of people and producers out there with a whole range of ethical standards. And some people have very high ethical standards. And I think they would do what they do, whether they were checked on or not.
Yeah.
And then you have people with very low ethical standards, and tends to be more on the corporate side because some accountant is in charge and says, oh, we can shave so many cents a liter off our milk as Wacker Berry, so let's just not buy organic and leave it on the labeling. So you've got a whole range of people. But if there's no pressure
Yeah.
to move from one side to the other, you're going to keep that range. You're going to keep the people who are naturally ethical and the people who are naturally dishonest and in it
Sure.
for an extra rand or two.
Yeah.
So what is necessary and what gives me hope is that we will slowly start to put pressure on. And when we try to formulate our vision, this topic, we said we want to move South Africa towards a country where every label is trusted, one
Yes.
label at a time.
Yes, I
So
love that.
you know, that's a lot of labels to go, but it's moving, it's putting a pressure in the right direction. And with that example I gave about the chocolate manufacturer who was mortified to discover that they're putting honey in and they can't call it sugar-free chocolate, I think fixing one label has a knock-on effect,
Yes.
partly by informing people who were making honest mistakes and partly by warning others who are intentionally deceiving the public, like, you know, maybe your time is limited. Maybe you should think about fixing what you're doing before we find you.
Yeah, and I think the responsibility is on us as much as consumers as it is on the manufacturers and retailers. We vote with our wallets, bottom line, like you said earlier, and if we don't buy it, they're not going to make it. So we've got to make that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. If we act together, the power, you know, the power
That's
of
right.
the entire country's population tomorrow making a decision. We'll have the CEO and the board of directors at our beck and call if we could coordinate
Of
that. But
course.
of course we can't because we're
Yes.
watching sport and we're exhausted after our day and we've got other things to do. But maybe if we can to a degree do that. When
Yes.
we first started the group, we thought, how are we going to afford the lab tests, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was tempted sometimes to just pay myself a few thousand rand to find out. But I can't do that, you know, on a regular basis.
Sure.
So we hoped that we would get interest from Facebook and other Twitter and other social media to people say, hey, I'll give 20 rand and let's get 100 people to do that and we can do a sugar test. But it didn't
Yes.
work at all. And I think the reason is there's so many appeals for money on the internet, you know. So that didn't really work. And we switched over to what we call a supporter system, where we go to certain retailers, and we've got about seven or eight only at the moment, and we say, "Will you support us?" And we base it on their employment number of employees. So some people pay us 500 rand a month, and some people pay us a few thousand rand a month. But in either case, it's trivial for them in terms of what their payroll is or whatever. And we put that into a kitty, and we use that kitty to do tests every now and again. And once again, the people who are our supporters are required to agree to our terms, which are they will get no special treatment if their product is investigated in any way. They can stop being a supporter and stop paying us if they like, but we're not going to change what we write about them based on that. So maybe what we should do is gradually try and expand that base of supporters, of
Supporters.
retailers and manufacturers, and because those people know they're under scrutiny and they know that they've committed to transparency from the top to the bottom. I mean, one of the extreme examples of transparency, and maybe this is an example for retail stores to consider, is above each product to have a live camera feed of the farm where that product comes from. We've got the
Clever.
technology, webcams, screens, and you're going to put your hand and say, "Are free-range chickens?" Just look up. Are these chickens free range? Oh, okay. I'll buy this product. You know, this one, there's no video feed. That's a bit strange. I think I'll go to this one. So I think that technology can play a big part in all of this. But we would like to grow as an organization. And I think you can either stagnate or grow. You know, it's very difficult to keep an equilibrium. So if there's anyone listening who'd like to give a little bit of time as a volunteer, it's very, very low key. We write a report every few months, well, sometimes a bit longer than that. Somebody to help us edit, maybe someone to do some Googling. If someone's got some chemical background or food science background, they can be very helpful to us, or the regulations. So we'd love such people to contact us and maybe join our very small group of people who make this happen.
And how do people get in contact with you?
So there's the Facebook page, which is Topic SA. We have a Twitter handle, at Topic SA. Maybe just double check that in the final edit. And also, you can email info@topicsa.org.za.
Great. And people love to get involved. And I'd really encourage anyone listening, if you care about your health and the future of your family's health, is lend your voice and lend your time and get curious about what's out there. It's the only way anything's going to change.
Yeah, and it's just to emphasize, it's not a big time commitment. It's not like you have to give up a day a week. It's just we have quite a loose arrangement. And when people have time, they get involved and they help with the report. When people are busy, they say, "I'm busy." And there's not a pressure to actually force you to give your time or anything like that. So it's quite an easy thing to get involved in.
But the awareness is really, really important. So Peter, thank you for your energy that you bring to such an important topic. And long may it last, and may you go from strength to strength.
Thank you, Nikki. And so good talking to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Such a pleasure.